We want to bless God this morning for another time of his word. And as you all know, we've been going through the series, Marriage, right? And for those of you who are not married, you still have some lesson to learn from the series we've been going through. And those of you who are preparing to get married, don't be afraid and say marriage is a tough thing, so I think I'm going to step back. No, it's a beautiful thing. Amen? Because the scripture says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And not only that, but obtains favor from God. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we thank you this morning. As we come, Lord, we ask you to just speak your word, not me. And let your word go as you want it to be, Lord, and accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. We say, come now, Lord. I hide behind you. Holy Spirit, speak your word and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've been going through, as I said, a series, Building Kingdom Homes. And we talk about marriage, parenting, and growing together in Christ. And today we're going to be ending our series on marriage. I didn't get no amen there, so like we have to continue this marriage series. I think I gotta call my boss and say, listen, nobody respond to me, so I think we gotta continue it. But we've been going through this series, and I have learned from it even as I preach, and I listen to Pastor Gary, and as I prepare my own message, I've learned from it, and it has helped me in so many ways. Amen. And our prayer is that it's going to help us, because when the church, when marriage is successful, what happened? The church is successful. Because you and I make up the church, right? Amen. And today we're going to be ending with our series, The Essential Ingredients of Oneness, of a Oneness Marriage. The essential ingredients of a oneness marriage. Now, if I ask a question, maybe we're going to do a pop quiz this morning. But if I actually ask a question about oneness of marriage, everybody will have their own understanding of what it means when it comes to being one in marriage, right? And most often, it is not how we consider, but what God considers as a oneness in marriage. Amen? And before we go further, everyone wants a happy marriage, right? When you stand before the altar and say, yes, I do, through the storm, whether it's pain and sickness and what have you, sometimes you say that thing, no time will not come. But it's going to come. Thank you, Dennis. And many struggle to achieve happiness and successful marriage. But I want us to listen to what the scripture says. We have doctors, psychologists, and they have their own thinking. It's good, it's helpful sometimes. But the best place we can find success in marriage is through God's word. Because while he was the one who designed, he orchestrated marriage, right? He was the first person to put marriage together. In fact, he was the one that performed the first marriage ceremony. Imagine the Garden of Eden, how beautiful it was, and all the flowers and all the things. And when Adam woke up, he's looking, he said, whoo, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. He didn't go to her and say, do you accept Eve to be your wedded wife and in time of sickness? No, he wasn't concerned about that. He was concerned how beautiful she was, because he knew that it was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Because why? God created her. So she was perfect that moment. And the scripture said everything was good, because before then nothing was good. After God created everything, he said it was incomplete. Nothing was good yet until he created Eve. See how you guys are special with me? Man, you passing around here, you ain't complete yet until you got your Eve on your side. Amen? For our eternal truth, we want to look at, as we consider, I want to come down to the latter print. Marriage, as we said, was what? Established by God. And it was his idea for marriage. It's not just a mere mingling of two humans. It's a tender merger of body, soul, and spirit. And guess what? A oneness marriage is husband and wife grafting intimacy, trust, understanding, and loving each other. Love is the central point of a marriage. And we're going to look at it this morning. Love is the central point. And we want to connect Christ's love and what the scripture says about love. And how can we apply it in our marriages, in our home, with our spouses? How can we apply the scripture to that? Now, mind you, there is no scripture that is in the Bible to say you should love your wife. Love is the most important. There is no scripture, but there are scripture that Paul uses that we can relate to and how God sees love. For instance, we want to look at John 3:16. And we're going to come there later, because there's a word that's in John 3:16 that is so important. And we're going to look at that later. But here's the thing. Everyone can survive and thrive in marriage if they love each other as the Bible teaches love. You can read the love novel and all the books on love, but the best book that teaches about love is this book. No other book supersedes this book. So if you want a magic ingredient for love, it's in this book. Now, before we go further, I want us to go back to where we started. And before we go back to where we started, a couple of things I want to stress here. If we look at oneness in marriage, where love comes in, we all know how we all use scissors, right? And scissors can be compared to that. It's kind of, there are two components joined together, right? And if they are apart, they cannot function. But when they are together, they can pierce through whatever you're trying to go through. And that's how oneness of marriage is. If the both partners are together, they can overcome whatever circumstances they face. Because why? They are together. But if they are apart, they cannot achieve anything. And that's why God saw it's so important when he instituted marriage. And when the marriage are together, what happens is that a built a relationship is established, once it's built and established according to God's plan, not according to my plan, how I want my marriage to be. It's good to have it, but if God is not in there, that home is not happy, because it's me, it's I, it's how I want it, it's not how God designed it, how God wants it to be, how God orchestrated it to be. I want it to be my way, my saying, my doing, my everything. And guess what? The home that should be filled with love, they're going to be vacuum in those homes. Everybody doing their own thing. There's no peace. There is no communication. We're going to talk about that later. We'll talk about that 2 Sundays ago. And the richness of marriage will lose its value. It lost its value completely. And that pleasure, that enjoyment that needs to fill all the rooms in the home will be gone. And when you enter in the house, it's that this movie, how you call it, The Walking Dead. They're living, but the home is there because there is no love. But that's not how God wanted it to be. So that is why oneness in marriage is very important. Amen? Amen? So let's go to where we started. We started with Pastor Gary preached on marriage on purpose, God's design. He talks about how it was God's idea. God put marriage together. And he talks about God instituted even the first marriage. And we talk about marriage, the battle. I mean, God's plan for marriage, the design for oneness. And where we talk about, God said, a man shall what? Leave. You help me now. We're reviewing. There you go. A man shall leave, cleave, and become what? One, not two. This is where mathematicians will not agree with us, right? They say 1 + 1 = 2, right? But in this situation, 1 + 1 = 1. Leave, cleave, and become one flesh. We talked about that. And we talked about marriage, the battle for oneness. There's going to be struggles in our marriages. It ain't going to be all bread and butter. There are going to be battles that we're going to fight. And guess who is fighting that battle against us? The devil. He started from in the Garden of Eden, and he ain't going to stop until the day of the Lord. So we have to be on the alert to make sure that we fight the right battle the right way by looking up in the Word of God. And we talk about the art of communication. How communication is very, very important in marriage. If we don't communicate well, we have a disaster in our marriage, in our home. But it's important. We also talk about, last Sunday, Pastor Gary spoke about resolving conflict in our marriage. There's always going to be conflict. That's why we are two different people, right? The male and the female. Sometimes from different backgrounds, different understanding. But God knew why he did it that way. Because to him, it's perfect. For him, it's great. That if I come with my background, understand, she comes with her, we merge together and put it on the table and work together as one. Not how I think, or not because I'm educated, or not because I'm bringing the most amount of income, or she bringing the most amount of income, or she's more beautiful, or I'm more, no, it doesn't matter any other things. God doesn't even see that. He looks up to the marriage being held as he deemed it to be. Amen? Amen? So today, we want to end this series. I thought somebody was going to say amen. Amen. I think we got to continue on this series. I got to call my boss. Let me write a note on the paper and think we got to go back. Because you guys are not responding to me. Today, we're going to end. You know, when we're in class, when they say, oh, this is the end for the semester or something, we're excited, right? But it seems that we want to continue going, right? But praise God for that. Amen. Today we're going to end our series on marriage, and we're going to look at the essential ingredients of a oneness marriage. The essential ingredients of oneness marriage. Now we say, in the beginning, God created what? Marriage. Marriage was his idea. And because it was his idea, We ought to carefully consider what God's plans was when he instituted marriage. After all, who knows when something works better or best than the person who created that thing? Right? But unfortunately, today there are so many people taking different direction and leaning on their own understanding, in their own thinking, in their own ways, and want to do it their way and not the way God planned it. It's like the designer come and say, oh, okay, this is the plan for this building. You come and say, you know what? No, I'm going to take out these bricks and put this one on the side. I'm going to do this. I'm going to extract it. You want it your own way. And at the end, what happens? There's problem in the foundation. The building crack get cracks and the building start to crumble. And you wonder, why is happening this way? Because you didn't follow the plan. And many of us struggling in our marriages, in our home, because we're not following God's plan that he designed for marriages. We have our own plan. We have our own agenda. We don't listen to our spouses. We don't listen to the next party, our husband or our wife. We don't listen to each other. For those of you young people who are going to be getting married, this is a good thing for you too. Because marriage is a good thing. But unless you follow God's plan, it becomes chaos. It becomes chaotic. Disaster. And who suffers the most? The children. Amen? So we want to look at God's plan for marriage. And as we read, I was talking about John 3:16 earlier. And it said, God so loved the world. And what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. Now, that is love that we need to copy into our marriage. Right? It's tough to say, you know, when I used to preach in Good News, I told my congregation, I said, which one of you guys love me? One morning they come and they say, oh, the arrest pastor Ansel, he down in the prison compound. So which one of you want to say, okay, I got my son. Let my son go in the prison for Pastor Ansel. And nobody could raise their hand up. Nobody could say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go and represent Pastor Ansel. I'm going to take his place in the prison cell. Who want to do that? Nobody want to do that. Really, no one. Because why? You care for yourself. But guess what? That wasn't the case with God. He cares about every one of us that he gave the best, his only son. And that's what we need to do in our marriages. And we're going to look at that. The first thing we want to look at in the essential of marriage is the habit of extravagant love. Extravagant love. How much you love your spouse to go beyond, go the extra mile. And this extravagant love is what? Exclusive, church. It's exclusive in the sense that one person has your heart for what? Lifetime. There is no other person that occupies or fills our heart beside God first. And the next is your spouse. And that's why when you make your mouth stuff, I say you forego all others, right? And only your spouse. And extravagant love and love should be expressed. Should be expressed. Not only that, it should be expressed in words or gesture and conduct. And it should be in action. We struggle with that. We struggle to show God beyond how much we love our spouses, how much we care for them. Sometimes so many things come in our way. We busy with job and busy sometimes that we forget the least thing that make our wives or make our husband happy. But in order, look at 1 Thessalonians, what Paul says in there. First, we want to look at Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. It says, love does what? Suffers long and is what? Kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. No, it does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not me, mine, and I. No, it's not provoked. Love thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. No. But rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures all things. Love never fails. No matter how difficult it may be in your marriage, if you love your spouse as the scripture says, your marriage is never going to fail. Because that's God's word. His word is truth. His word is valid. His words never contradict itself. So if we should have a meaningful, a successful, a happy marriage, now it doesn't mean everything's going to be bread and butter. There are going to be times that are going to be difficult times. But guess what? Because of love, love supersedes all those difficult times that you're going to experience in your marriage. And that's why Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. And we can apply that into our relationship, into our marriage, into our home. And see, look at it, and it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will what? Fail. Can you imagine that? They will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will what? Ceased. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But you go back, and say, Paul said, love never fails. And that's the extravagance of love. How far? You know, I don't know, sometimes young people going to say, they're going to tell whoever they did and say, prove your love to me. Prove that you love me. You don't have to prove that you love the person. You can use God's word and tell them how much you love them through the word of God. Because if you use God's word, what God's word says, you're going to have a great relationship. And I know I got witnesses in here this morning, those who have been married for over 40 years. Oh, give a hand for those who have been married for a long time. They know exactly what I'm saying. They've been there. They've been through the rain. They've been through the storm. They've been through the snow. They've been through the fire. But they say stand. Because why? They hope in God's word. Amen? Extravagant love is expressed. Look at what the scripture says. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And God did it, right? He showed that greater love when he gave Jesus Christ, when Christ laid down his life for us. That's going far beyond and making your relationship a better one. Hey, let them call you the love bird. Fly. Not like eagle now. But embrace it. Cherish it, because that's what the scripture says. And that's why it doesn't matter what they think or how they feel. What matters is how God feels and thinks about your marriage and how God looks at your marriage. Because he's the one we're going to answer to. And look at Colossians chapter 2, what Paul says there. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. There is no perfect marriage. But guess what? When we follow God's word, we strive toward perfection and make our marriage the best we can in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, Paul says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need. He said, I don't need to tell you this. I don't need to write you. He He said, for you yourself are taught by God to love one another. Apply that in your relationship. Apply that in your marriage. Apply that with your spouse. Apply and see if God's word will not make change in your marriage, in your home. Love is not waking up in the morning, hey, honey, you go all through the door. And sometimes you don't talk all day by the time before you get home. Sometimes you don't communicate all day until you get home. That's not love. Love is not just having kids. No. Love is making each other satisfied and pleased and valued in the eyes of both partners. And you say, oh yeah, I'm valued by my spouse, my husband value me, my wife value me. And like I said, there are folks here who've been married. And you know, I can't wait for the marriage session coming up. I got my notebook because I'm going to keep writing all and apply that to my marriage. Because I want to have a great and successful marriage. Amen? Extravagant love is extraordinary. Extraordinary. When something is extraordinary, is what? More than what you anticipate, right? It's better. So how can you make that work? And that's why Paul wants us to understand. He said, in fact, John 3:16, God did the extraordinary part of love when he gave his only begotten son. How many of us want to give that extraordinary love to our partner, to our wife, to our husband, not to our father, not to our mother, not to our friends, not to your brother, your sister, but to the one that stood next to you and said, I do. You owe that extra love to them, to go further, to go beyond. And Paul said, Ephesians chapter 5 says, husband, love your wife just as what? Oh, I can't hear you. Just as what? No, I expected the men then to be speaking here, but only that I could hear the women speaking. Because they say husband. I don't know why the women speaking. I say husband. And no, I ain't hear the men speaking. Can we do that again? Husband, what? Love your wives. Just as what? Love the church. And what did he do? He gave. Woo. He gave himself. And vice versa, I'm going to say, wives, do what? Love your husband. Oh, only one or two wives saying that. Praise God. But what are we saying? Love is the core, central part of every marriage. Love caused Jesus to come down. Love caused God, who knew no sin, could see his son on the cross bearing the sin of mankind. That was extraordinary love. And that's why God wants, and it's part of God's plan when it comes to loving our spouses. Amen? And Proverbs says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Amen. That's what love is going to do. That's what love is going to do. And extravagant love is a choice and it's not a feeling. It's not how you feel. No, but it's a choice. Because it was choice that God took to forgive us no matter what? Our sin. He chose to forgive us and show love. So in essence, we ought to show love regardless of how bitter or how hard or whatever situation may be going on in your marriage. Because love will conquer those situations. Amen? Amen? Guess what?
God loved David so much. David was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But God loved him. And what God has said, he said David was the man of his heart. God loved the apostle Paul, who was a blasphemer, who killed, but God forgave him and loved him and called him his own. And guess what? God also showed love for Peter, who would deny Jesus 3 times. And if God can show love for these men, he still showed love for you and I. Why can't we show love for the one he brought in our life? And that's the power of love when it's in the marriage. Amen? And the next point we want to look at is the habit of generous forgiveness. You know, last week Pastor Gary spoke, right? He said, don't hold it in. And say, you know, we're not going to talk about it. But when something happened, then you go back, you rewind the clock. And try to remind your spouse, oh, you remember you did such and such and such. That ain't no forgiveness. Forget it. Let it go. And general forgiveness begins with humility. It should be humility. I got humility there. Humility. It begins with humility. How humble. Because if you're not humble enough, you can't forgive any person. You can't even forgive your spouse. You can't even forgive anyone. So forgiveness begins with humility. And general forgiveness is what? Offer quickly. The scripture said, don't let the sun go down, what? On your wrath. It's applied freely. It's expressed graciously. That's general forgiveness. In our marriages, if we should allow this to happen, this is what's going to happen in our marriage when we forego all those things. General forgiveness leads to truth. And let us look at that quickly. Forgiveness offered freely. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, he said, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And then look there, he said, but above all these things, put on what? Thank you, one person. Put on love. We're speaking about love. If you don't love, you're never going to forgive your spouse. If you don't love that person, you're never going to forgive them, no matter how sincere they come to you to apologize. You're never going to forgive them. But Paul says that above all the important law, which is the bond of perfection. And he said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in what? One body. One plus one is what? One. So let that love ring in that one body that God put together. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who covers transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Don't repeat the thing your spouse did. Don't remind them. You can sit and talk about it, but don't keep bringing the old stories up. Don't rewind the clock. Take it forward. How best you can build on that. How best you can build on that mistake. How best you can establish things to make things better. Amen? And Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, he said, then Peter came to him and sat and said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother's sin against me? How often should I forgive him? That's not, somebody says, it's not easy. Right? And you know there are some men very stubborn, keep doing the thing over and over until your wife can get frustrated with them. And as some of my wives do, they keep doing the thing, same thing over and over, sometimes you get frustrated. But hey, that's exactly what Peter came to say, how many times should I forget? And what Jesus said? He said, 7 times. But up to what? 70 times. 7. That means there is no ending for forgiveness. Even though he says 70 times 7, all the mathematicians won't go calculate it. Don't calculate it. Don't write it down and say, Bible says we should forgive 70 times. So when you have reached that amount, you say, okay, the forgiveness is done. No. No. God wants you to keep forgiving. Even if it hurt, forgive them. Remember Jesus on the cross? Even as he was nailed on the cross and he looked down, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Yeah. That's what God wants. That was his plan for marriage. There will be ups and downs. There will be mountains. There will be rocky hills. There will be valleys. There will be storms. There will be bitterness. There will be anger. There will be hatred and everything in there. But in all love. You know, I'm preparing a message. I say I can't wait for October 15th because I'm going to take my notebook. I want to learn most. Mr. Long, I hope you be there. Gordon, I hope you be there. Dennis, I know you are there. But these are folks who've been in marriage for a longer time. They can tell you exactly how it's been. But through it, love was the central part, and they're still going on. Love wasn't a piece of paper that they had to sign. It wasn't a certificate, no. You know, when I got married, one of my friends, I forgot my ring home one day, and I went to rush into work, and he looked at my finger, and he saw the mark on my finger. He said, man, what's your wedding? Your ring. I said, oh, I forgot it home. He said, man, your wife's going to be mad at you for forgetting your ring home. And one of my coworkers said, listen, the ring doesn't matter. What matters is the heart. You can have the ring and still break your wife or your husband's heart. But what matters is the love that you have for your spouse. It's what matters. And I look at him, I said, brother, come and give me a hug for that. But that's why love, no matter whether you wear or have a flamboyant wedding or whatever you do, it doesn't matter to God. What matters is love in that relationship. Amen. Love, forgiveness. Oh, yeah, forgiveness. Apply. Did I? Okay, yeah, we on the, yeah. Forgiveness apply freely. Forgiveness apply freely. Remember, church, God, we didn't have to pay for God to forgive us. He did it on the free will. He did it because of love. He said, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complained against one another or against another, even has Christ forgave you, you also must what? Do. Now we're closing on our marriage series. And as we leave from here today, the most important thing we're going to take with us is what? Love. Love is the most important thing that's going to sustain our marriage, will sustain our home, will sustain our family in everything we do. Look at Psalm 86, verse 5. The psalmist says, for you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive. God doesn't keep holding. Every time we stumble, he reminds. Which one of you God ever reminded you, said, oh, you did this thing yesterday? No, he don't. He ready to accept us just as we are when we run to him. Even though we keep making the same mistakes over and over, but yet his arms are wide open, ready to forgive us every second, every minute. And that's exactly how we ought to do in our marriage. Freedom, forgive your spouse. Accept what they made, the mistake they made. Work on it and build on how to move forward. Don't remind them. Don't keep it in your heart. Like Pastor Gary said last Sunday, Don't keep it then when something happened, then you try to rewind and bring it forward. No! Forgive freely. Love, let it be from your heart. Don't say, yeah, I hear it. Hearing it is one thing, but accepting it is another thing. You can hear it come through the other ear and gone. But when you accept it, it stays within. Amen. Forgiveness should be expressed graciously. Look at Colossians chapter 1. He said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sins. God graciously expressed his love for us. You see, when God created the world, everything was good. He said, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, let there be man. No. He said, let us create man in our own image and after our likeness. And so, we are special to God. We are precious to God. To the extent that when we go wrong against him, he forgives us graciously. He keeps opening up his arms toward us to accept us as we are. And if we can apply that in our marriage to express love, forgiveness graciously, there ain't going to be no divorce. There are going to be happy marriages all around the place. But until we forgive and express our forgiveness for our spouse, for each other, graciously, no matter how hard they may say things or what they do or what have you, think about how much you do, you sin against God, but yet he still forgave you. Ephesians says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. And when I was reading that part, I said, that's why we just said, hey, I need to tell Vernon, come on, let us reason together. Let us put our misunderstanding on the table. Let us figure out this stuff. Let us see how best we can move from this point to the next point forward. And that's why God said to the children of Israel, he said, let us reason together. The children of Israel, they sinned against God. They went their own way. They did things that were wrong in the sight of God. But God still loved them. He said, let us reason together. He said, though your sins are less colored, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red, the crimson, he said, they shall be what? As wool. And that's what we need to do in our marriages, in our home. When we reason together, we move forward and have a great marriage. Amen. Please help me. Let's go to the next part. Okay, there we go. And we're going to look at the third point, the habit of enthusiastic encouragement. The habit of enthusiastic encouragement. Enthusiastic encouragement believes and motivates spouse. It opens freely, church. Avoids critical words. Don't say things that you say, that's not me who was speaking. It wasn't me who was speaking. No. It was you. Don't say, oh, I don't know what came over me. Because we found petty excuses when we know we're wrong. And instead of admitting the fact, and we say, I don't know what happened. I don't know what came over me. I don't know. It wasn't me, you know. Then who was it? Me team positive attitude, even in hard times. This is the most one of the most important parts, because don't discourage each other. No one is perfect. Your husband is not perfect. Your wife is not perfect. We are all imperfect people that God put together. The only perfect person is God. But when we make God the central point of our marriage, we make love the central point of our marriage, even if the next person messes up, we are there to encourage them. Be enthusiastic. Don't say, you should have known better, man. No. If they have, no, don't say the words. I'm surprised at you. No, don't be surprised. That's why you came up for. They're not perfect. Don't say, you get on my nerves. No. Don't say, you want too much. No. You complain too much. You talk. No. Don't do that. But be an encouragement to them. Even when you know they did the wrong thing, encourage them. Oh no, probably you have done such and such this way. It would have been better. But don't say things that will hurt their feelings. Believe and motivate your spouse. Believe in them. Don't believe what other people say. You know, my dad told me the one thing when I was getting married. He's in Africa. I called him. I told him I was getting married. He told me, he said, hey, listen. He said, when you get married, what are you about to do? He said, the only person that should be between you and your wife that will hear what you're talking is the pillow. Don't involve your friends. Don't involve even me. Don't even call me. But the both of you will best talk about it than any other person. And that's true. Because if you go to your friend who doesn't love how your marriage is going, maybe they're jealous of your marriage, they give you wrong idea. And you go, oh, you know you should have done this. This person is doing better. No! God didn't tell you to compare your marriage with that person. Compare your marriage to what God says in His Word. Because if you base your marriage on God's word, on God's instruction, on God's plan, on God's purpose, you don't have to run to your friend. You don't have to run to your mama. You don't want to have to call your dad. You don't have to call your brother, your sister. Talk to God about it first. Amen. Open firmly. Be firm to your spouse. Tell them the truth. In a truthful way, in a loving way, in a way that will not create chaos, or else you won't have breakfast on your table in the morning. But you know, sometimes God is so good, right? He gives us the right person in your life, your partner. Sometimes, Verna and I, we argue sometimes in the morning, and I think she will be mad. By the time I get up, oh, babe, I finish fixing your breakfast. It's on the table getting ready to work. And I was like, this lady and myself were just talking about that. And she got, but she didn't care about what happened. She cares about how God feels about her not doing the right thing in her marriage. And that taught me a great lesson. That no matter what the difference is, don't hold anything back from your spouse. Don't keep it in your heart. Show love. Avoid critical words. Words are important and powerful, because when you say it, you cannot retrieve it. It sinks in there and it plays on the next person's mind. How you think about them. If you say words and things that doesn't represent them, they feel, is it how he thinks about me? Is it how she thinks about me? No. Avoid critical words and maintain positive attitude. Maintain positive attitude in your marriage. Those of you young people who plan to get married, like Pastor Gary said, we have this. We're going to print this out. It's something that you can refer to and go over. Many of us struggle. Even those who have been married for 40, 50, 60 years, they've been through tough times. But they made it. They made it. Because why? They followed God's plan for marriage. They didn't follow their own ego. They didn't follow their own desire. So encouragement in marriage is simply expressing to the one spouse, say, I believe you. I believe in you. Even though you did such and such and such, I still believe in you. Even though you didn't do this and this, and I still believe in you. And get turned into the best situation of your marriage. Amen? Amen? Now, as we close, I just want to share this. The habit of enthusiastic encouragement. Focus on your spouse's strength rather than their weakness. Don't use their weakness to capitalize and bring them down, degrade them, and make them feel discouraged. No. Encourage rather than criticize. Encourage them. Even if they're wrong, encourage them in a positive way that they will grow into it. Don't tell them, say, you're too hard to learn. No. Don't tell them, say, I'm regretting why I get into this marriage. No. Don't say that. Encourage them. Don't criticize them. Pray for your spouse instead of gossiping about them. Don't go to your friend and say, oh, my husband, he didn't know anything about love. He ain't taking me out. He's not doing anything. No. Come home. Talk it with him. Do it together. Don't go to your friends. Don't go gossip about your wife to your friend. Don't go gossip about your husband to your friend. No. Pray for them. And lastly, learn and live what Christ teaches about relating to and loving others. Because if you learn that, I'm telling you, you're going to be on the way to a successful and happy marriage. Even through the storms, it's going to be successful in your eyes. Even through the bitterness, it's going to be successful in your eyes. Even into the hard times, it's going to be successful in your eyes. Because why? You are following God's plan for marriage. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. And just help us, oh God, as we go on through, Lord, that we will recognize you as the center and focus of our marriage, and that we cannot do it on our own. Only you can help us. And let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.